Catherine told her friend about Dr. Loeffler, so the next time he was in Ottawa, Charlotte also went to him for treatment, and it seems she persuaded many of her former colleagues to do the same. "She got them together," remarked a relative. "She was kind of pushy about it." The girls had been a clique at work, and those who were left alive had not forgotten the bonds of their sisterhood. In the end, Loeffler hosted several informal clinics for the women at a local hotel. Helen Munk attended, no longer married because, she said, her husband had divorced her because of her illness. She confessed her legs felt hollow, as if air was rushing through. Though she was a woman who wanted to be going all the time, she said miserably, "Now I have to be quiet, still. I never wanted to be quiet." Olive Westwit, a dark-haired, motherly woman, was distraught. "I'll tell you how I feel," she said. "I'm just 36, but I live like an old woman of 75. Inez Valla also hobbled to the hotel. Since last February, one side of her face had drained constantly with pus, while her hips were now so locked that she was almost at the point that she could move neither backward nor forward. Marie Rossiter told the doctor how she would love to dance, but I can't because of my ankles and the bones of my legs. Charlotte persuaded the Glachinsky sisters, Frances and Marguerite, to come too. "Charlotte never felt sorry for herself," said a relative. "She would just take over and take care of everyone." Though Loeffler travelled to Ottawa every weekend throughout March and into April 1934, he was still not ready to present a diagnosis. Come 10th of April, Charlotte could wait no longer. The growing mass in her arm was excruciating. "We finally took her to Chicago, to Dr. Marshall Davison," her husband, Al, remembered. It was there, at the Cook County Hospital, that Dr. Davison presented Charlotte with a choice. In order to live, he told her, there was only one option. He would have to amputate her arm. Charlotte was 28 years old. She had 3 children under 5. Yet what choice did she have? She chose life. They cut off her arm at the shoulder. There was no way, a relative later said, that they could use a prosthetic arm or a hook because they had nothing to attach it to. It was gone. Her limb, which had always been there, scratching her nose, carrying shopping, holding a watch dial, was gone. The doctors were mystified by the arm itself. With all the grim fascination of medics, after the operation they kept it in formaldehyde because it was so odd. For the Purcells, there was simply a strange relief. "Dr. Davison says we're lucky to have her still with us," Al Purcell said quietly. But his wife had been left helpless. Before the operation, she had slid from her left hand, for the last time, her wedding ring. Now she wore it on her right hand and asked Al to safety pin her left sleeve to cover up the missing limb. "My husband," she said, "is my hands." Charlotte and Al only hoped that such a huge sacrifice would be enough. But already it didn't help with one thing. "She still feels," Al remarked, "the terrible pain of the hand and arm they removed." The ghost girl had phantom pains from the limb that was no longer there. "There is some possibility," Al added, "of recurrence on the right side. We're not sure yet." Only time would tell.